Blog Talk Radio.
Special show today, but I have some significant birthdays on this day. In 1868, John Nance Garner from Texas, the Speaker of the House, became the vice presidential candidate and vice president in the first administration of Franklin Delano Roosevelt. John Nance Garner also swore in Lyndon Baines Johnson into the U.S. Congress. Of course, Lyndon Baines Johnson succeeded John F. Kennedy on November 22, 1963, after the assassination. Among the other birthdays today, Wiley Post. He was a pilot who crashed and died in Alaska. On that plane also was Will Rogers, famous political humorist. It's also the birthday of the great French general and president Charles de Gaulle, who also showed up at the funeral and marched in the funeral cortege at the funeral of John Fitzgerald Kennedy at the end of November 1963. Hoagy Carmichael was born today, Robert Vaughn, and Billie Jean King. Among the interesting deaths today, the Blackbeard Pirate. We had the guy who invented the Ferris wheel, George Washington Ferris. Aldous Huxley, the English controversial philosopher. C.S. Lewis, who wrote the naval series based on Napoleonic Wars of Captain Hornblower. He also did the Tales of Narnia. Mae West also died on this day, and the great lyricist who worked with Richard Rogers, Lawrence Hart, died on this day. Also, when Francisco Franco died in this month, Juan Carlos, who he grew to succeed him as king, Juan Carlos was sworn in 1975 and still is the king. We're going to do part one of the interview we did with Pat Butler, the author who's written a book on assassinations, and he's looking for a publisher. He's already written Chicago One, there's Ravenswood and Lakeview. Famous areas of Chicago, and another one I think is on Uptown. But here is the one, the interview, part one of the interview I did with him on assassinations.
This is off air about the three shots of the obsolete rifle, if I could call it that. And was there a third?
Major Carcano was not an obsolete rifle. It was
It was a rifle that was no longer used by the Italian army.
Mm-hmm.
It was for years a good solid workhorse rifle, and there was nothing, you know, they say it's a poor workman who blames his tools.
Mm-hmm.
The Mannlicher Carcano was, you know, was a good workhorse rifle for the Italian infantry.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and in fact, Lee Harvey Oswald was not that bad a shot.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was trained in the Marine Corps to be a fairly decent shot, and by Marine standards, he was slightly above average.
Mm. Now, the controversy, there's still a lot of controversy, and I mentioned that there was an Australian retired detective expert who came over here, went to Dealey Plaza, went up to the book depository, and talked to a former, a writer who had researched with a guy who's now dead, an FBI, I think, firearms expert who had some doubts about who really shot Kennedy. And according to this thing that was on cable TV, it was Kennedy was hit by the first bullet from Oswald, but the bullet that smashed his skull was an accident that it's allegedly a Secret Service guard in back had taken the safety off of his rifle, and it discharged and hit Kennedy and smashed his brain. That was the proposition on this TV cable, supposedly another expose on this controversial assassination. But you said,
I find it rather interesting,
mm-hmm,
that this has only come out
mm-hmm
in the past 6 months or so.
Mm-hmm. Are you familiar with any of this?
I've heard that story before,
okay,
but
okay.
I also know that the bullets that were found on the scene
mm-hmm
were examined in an exhaustive fashion, and there is no evidence that they came from anything but the same gun.
No, this is what he said. I saw they repeated this several times on cable TV, the real REEL. I don't know if you've got it back there. And he said that there was a different bullet which would not have fitted in the chamber of that rifle, and that was used either to cleanse the chamber or whatever. And then the bullet that hit Kennedy and Connally was the one that came from what's Oswald, and that the bullet that smashed Kennedy's skull was a different size.
Well, I think,
I mean, that's what they said.
I know. I think there's no limit to the amount of imagination that helps sell books, and there's no limit. There's no limit to the appetite people have for conspiracies, and
mm-hmm
this is nothing new.
Mm-hmm.
After Lincoln's assassination, among
mm-hmm
the people that were being blamed for complicity in the assassination
mm-hmm
were Pope Pius IX,
mm-hmm
who was, according to some people, a secret Confederate sympathizer.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you believe that, I've got a bridge at Belmont and the river that I'll be glad to sell you real cheap.
I don't want to have cement shoes and end up in the Chicago River.
You get the idea.
Oh, right, right, right.
In the case of Leon Czolgosz,
mm-hmm,
there was the belief
mm-hmm
that anarchists, including anarchists in Chicago,
mm-hmm,
led by Emma Goldman,
mm-hmm,
were behind the assassination.
Mm-hmm.
Again,
mm-hmm,
it is true that Leon Czolgosz wanted desperately to be accepted by the anarchists. That doesn't mean that the anarchists were in league with him. In fact, in an anarchist newspaper, The Alarm,
mm-hmm,
they carried a notice to beware of this man who had been appearing at anarchist gatherings trying to solicit support for assassinating public officials.
Good Lord. It seems like
And it was, the anarchists themselves thought that he was some kind of a plant.
Mm-hmm.
Czolgosz was not a plant, but
mm-hmm
Czolgosz was a nut that even the anarchists wanted no part of.
Mm. Now, what was the other thing I was going to say? Now, there's a lot of have you seen the Zapruder film?
Yes, I have.
And what's your opinion? Because the controversy now is that several frames when the original was turned over to the Warren Commission, or several frames were either missing or distorted. You know, there's so much controversy. It seems that the most controversial assassinations in our history are Lincoln's and Kennedy's. And, of course, the way they handled the trial of the alleged conspirators after the Lincoln assassination seems to me a gross miscarriage of justice, especially Mary Surratt hanging a woman.
Well, Mary Surratt, there's no question that Mary Surratt was guilty of espionage.
Mm-hmm.
There's no question that Mary Surratt was a Confederate sympathizer. There is very little evidence to suggest that she had any guilty knowledge of a plan to kill Lincoln. She was aware of a plot and may have been part of a plot to kidnap Lincoln. But Mary Surratt was, I mean, look, they were looking for scapegoats at that time. They wanted to round up as many quote-unquote conspirators as possible and make an example of them. This was the first time a president had been assassinated in American history. It came at the end of a very divisive war. They were looking for guilty people. Remember, for a time, Jefferson Davis was considered to be one of the ringleaders.
Well, he spent some time in prison too.
Well, he was put in. He was in prison not for that. Jefferson Davis was imprisoned for being a leader of the rebellion.
Right, right.
Which, incidentally, that may have been illegal. Because I believe there was an amnesty granted to anybody who signed the Oath of Allegiance.
Yeah, I guess he didn't. Now, jumping forward, since you're in Washington now, let's get back to Lincoln and the first attempted assassination. Can you tell us something about that?
Yes, yes. In 1864, on his way to the old soldier's home, where Lincoln would spend many summer evenings, away from the White House. Lincoln,
and away from Mary Todd?
Well, that's another possibility, isn't it? The president would go out to this rather secluded area outside Washington. It was Lincoln's equivalent of Camp Davis, Camp David. He was unescorted. At that time, presidents often traveled unaccompanied. And at one point when he was on his way to the old soldier's home, someone fired a bullet through his stovepipe hat. He arrived at the old soldier's home. One of the soldiers there spotted a bullet hole in his hat, and he ordered the soldier to say nothing about it to anybody. It was only after his death that the information about this assassination attempt, the information on this assassination attempt came out. But, incidentally, today is the anniversary of the Gettysburg Address.
Oh, yeah, they brought it up, and, of course, there's something to be said for short, succinct speeches.
Well, brevity is the soul of wit.
Yeah, you're right. Well, yeah, the Edward
Winston Churchill's directive on becoming First Lord of the Admiralty, when he sent out directives to all of his senior naval officers, and it began, please state this day on one side of paper the readiness of your units to engage in full-scale combat. letter.
Brilliant. Right. Now, jumping forward to Harry Truman, since you're in Washington, do you have any background on the attempt, the Puerto Rican nationalist attempt to assassinate
Oscar
Truman?
Oscar Collazo,
right.
Terrasola, and that group. There were two parts to that. There was, of course, the attempt to shoot Truman, who was then staying at the Blair House while the White House was being renovated. And then there was the woman who, with several conspirators, went into the gallery of the House of Representatives and was handed a gun by one of her conspirators, and she and at least two other men started firing. into the congressman. One was killed. Several others were wounded. In the case of the attempt to kill Truman, three policemen were killed.
Mm-hmm. Now, nobody... Go ahead.
They never got anywhere near Truman.
Right. No, no, none of those guys were executed, were they? I think one was recently pardoned by Clinton, I think.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, none of them were executed, and they were really rather lucky because they could have been.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's 50 years a long time. Oh, Patrick,
this
I came...
more than 50 years. This was...
51?
They were... the assassination attempt on Truman took place in 1951.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this is...
that'd be 60...
You know, what, 60 years?
Yeah, 62 years. Now, I came across some very interesting thing because I'm going to do something on assassinations in American pop.
We'll get to that, assassinations in America. The one state that would surprise you, which had the most political assassinations in U.S. history. We're going to end tonight with what happened in Boston when they received the news on November 22nd, 1963. Eric Weinsdorf was conducting the Boston Symphony, and this is how he handled it in when they got the news that the president, who was a native of Boston, was assassinated.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have a press report over the wires. We hope that it is unconfirmed, but we have to doubt it, that the president of the United States has been the victim of an assassination. We will play the funeral march from Beethoven's Third Symphony. Thank you.
Monday, the part two of the Pat Butler audio interview and the other excerpt on profiling assassins and the advice he gives to, or would give, to a political candidate, whether president or governor or whatever, who wants to ensure their security against these crazies that are out there. Pat has interviewed people like Carter, President Carter, and other prominent political leaders, politicians, office holders. Also been abroad to Ireland and to Italy, but he didn't interview the Pope. So have a safe weekend, and we'll be back Monday at 4 p.m. this time, and we'll still try to find out what's going on. Peter Paul Vizzola, good night.